The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Jay Oliver here, another round of Ask the Medical Experts. Each and every week, we give you a different perspective as far as Conic Bay Medical Center and everything involved. Good category this week, speech pathology, the great program at PBMC, and Annie McGarry, who is the manager of the speech pathology program. And nice enough to give us a couple of minutes as medical experts. It is great to have you, Annie. Okay, everything good?
Yeah, that's good to be here, Jay. Good morning.
Great having you. Let's give a little bit about yourself to the folks out there and what you do as manager of speech pathology, the great program over at the Conic Bay. Go ahead, my dear.
Sure. So, yeah, we do have a great program here. Our speech therapists are in our outpatient clinic and also see patients in the hospital. So as a manager, essentially, I do everything to support them that allows them to do the best job that they can do, work on program development, and take care of any problems that come along. And again, just really support them in whatever their needs are.
Great stuff. So much done there. Give the audience, Annie, a little idea as far as speech pathology is concerned. What is it exactly, and what are some of the more common conditions that you help treat there?
Sure. So speech pathology, our speech pathologists, we work with various populations and various different diagnoses. So as far as populations, we can see babies just after birth in the NICU all the way up to the geriatric population. So it's very broad. Within those age ranges, we're going to see various different diagnoses or different issues based on, you know, their age or whatever is happening on a medical standpoint. So what we often work with, we'll work with feeding disorders, more pediatric related. Then we'll work with swallowing disorders that can go across all age range. We'll work on speech production and speech clarity, language skills. So that involves how someone understands things and how somebody communicates things, gets their words out, finishes the thoughts. We work on pragmatic skills. So for those who just really need to know how to communicate better in nonverbal means, we do address cognitive deficits. So that could impact somebody's ability to reason, to problem solve, to keep attention and focus in different situations, and also just their organization could be related to a cognitive issue also.
Good stuff. What about the most common treatment methods, Annie? What are you using right now?
So really depends on what we're seeing from them for. So if we're working with somebody for swallowing therapy, there's different tools that we can do, such as neuromuscular electrical stimulation to assist with the swallow. There's some tools that provide biofeedback to allow the patient to kind of see and feel what's going on with their swallow. And there's also an array of swallowing exercises that we can implement depending on where the weakness is in the swallow. And then also in relation to swallow is that we're often working on strategies that they can do while they're eating and drinking to improve their overall swallow function. If we work with somebody with speech and language and cognitive deficits, there's certain therapy exercises, practices that we would do that would address those issues also.
Very important, no question. Annie McGarry with us talking speech pathology. Ladies and gentlemen, very important as far as how to deal with certain aspects and everything else involved. It's interesting because, there's so much going on in this category. Just curious, does Peconic Bay use any speech assistance technology to aid patients during speech therapy in itself?
Yeah, there's definitely tools to use, and obviously it depends on who's appropriate for that. There are very high-tech tools out there that certain different systems that somebody could use, and how we would get somebody set up with that is we would identify their best communication skills as far as receptive, and see how they learn, and then try them out with the different systems that is appropriate to them. So those are really high-tech technologies. Also, very often now between the iPad and the iPhone and all different cell phones, there's communication systems on these phones and on the iPad that is amazing, whether it's as a communication device or it's a therapy tool on these systems, and it covers the gamut. So it's actually, you know, a bit cheaper to kind of get these communication systems using the iPad as versus, you know, compared to more high-tech, more expensive systems.
Gotcha. So with Annie McGarry, talking speech therapy and the great programs that exist over at the Peconic Bay Medical Center. So, you know, wondering as well, does PBMC offer speech therapy options for those who don't speak the English language or for those whom English might be a second language?
Of course, yes. There's quite a few different languages that we kind of see around here. We always have interpreter services available for anybody who's non-English speaking, and we just use the right system that accommodates them. So we have this language line system that either we're communicating on the phone or we actually will use this iPad system where we can visually see the interpreter. So, for instance, someone who perhaps is deaf or extremely hard of hearing, we would need to use a visual iPad system so we can actually see the interpreter so that the interpreter can sign and the patient on the other side can see that sign. So we meet the needs of what that language is.
Gotcha. Annie McGarry with us talking speech therapy. Very important in the lines of communication and everything else. Speaking of that, you mentioned and brought up prior, Annie, swallowing disorders. Let's go over what they are, whom do they affect, how do patients manage, maybe cope with some of the related systems, if we can go over that. Go ahead.
Sure, yeah. So in the hospital setting, a lot of what we do is related to swallowing difficulties, a significant amount. A swallowing disorder is really anything that affects your ability to swallow. And it could be due to, you know, with children, it could be a developmental issue, or it could be due to an injury or a medical diagnosis or overall deconditioning. So with the swallowing function, there's essentially three stages of swallowing that we look at. We look at the oral stage, so that is how somebody can chew, how they can manipulate that food in their mouth, if they hold the liquid in their mouth and they don't lose it outside their mouth, and how they move it around. And the second stage is really in the throat. What happens in the throat? Do they protect their airway? Does everything go down where it needs to? Do they have a lot of residue that lingers in their throat that creates a problem later? And then the third stage is really the esophageal stage. So that's the esophagus and how things are moving down the esophagus or how things are coming back up when they shouldn't be. So, those are three aspects of swallowing. So everything that we do kind of relates to that. And what we'll do is we'll identify what kind of problem, where is it happening in the stages of the swallow, and then make a plan based on that.
Gotcha. Important right there. What about the kids, you know, in general? You work with patients of all ages, right? So what are the more common disorders that you treat as far as children are concerned?
So with children, in our outpatient clinic, what we see majority of the time are some feeding difficulties. So this is usually young children who are having some feeding issues, not necessarily a structural swallowing issue, but feeding issues where they might not, they might stay away from certain consistencies, or they might not like certain colors of food, certain textures of food. So there's a behavioral sensory component that could be impacting their ability to kind of get the food in. So we work with those children in correlation to the parents and you know, have a program where it's a joint effort, because we can't do it without the parents. We can only do what we do, and then the parents carry over at home. So that's one of the big issues that we'll see. And otherwise, we'll see usually developmental delays, whether it's affecting their speech, intelligibility, certain sound productions that they're not making very well, or language, and, you know, how are they understanding, you know, a young child who may not really understand or know how to respond to certain directions or repeat certain sounds. So we'll help with that language development there and the speech development also.
Very important stuff. This is an interesting topic, ladies and gentlemen, as we are in conversation with Annie McGarry. Does great job, no question, as far as speech pathology, the great program of the Peconic Bay Medical Center. Very important, very important. We will continue our discussion right after these words. Annie McGarry, you're listening to another round of Ask the Medical Experts. Jay Oliver here. Each and every week, we delve into the great Peconic Bay Medical Center and talk with an expert in their respective field. Annie, of course, manager of speech pathology, the great program at the PBMC. Ms. McGarry is. Annie, let's get back into it as far as, you know, you work, I should say, how would someone get started in the program at PBMC? Do you need a referral from a doctor? How does that all work with prospective patients?
Sure. So, yes, we need to have a referral prescription from the doctor to initiate an assessment. So we can be, you know, help that if somebody gives us a call and they don't have a referral from the doctor. We certainly work to try to make that happen to expedite them getting in here. So once we have a prescription, we will do an evaluation that's appropriate for them, whether it's a swallow, a speech, a voice, a language, cognitive, based on their diagnosis or what their complaint is. So after we do that evaluation, we're going to develop a therapy plan from there, which is going to be based on the patient, family complaints and what their goals they want to get out of therapy, and based on what we see and what we diagnose for them. And so once we have this therapy plan in motion, we'll start doing the treatments there. So often that could involve really having good teamwork with the family member too, because the success of a patient doing well has a lot to do with the family support and anybody else that's there to support them that allows them to succeed as best as possible.
Is it tailored? Just wondering here, as far as the program itself, talking about speech pathology, is it tailored around each individual as a patient? Is it determined what is best? How does that kind of work to gauge what's the best way for a patient here?
Sure. Yeah, it certainly has to, because everybody, I know we always hear this, everybody is so different. And truly, everybody is different in this regard. As diagnosticians, we will diagnose what we see, and we'll identify what somebody's strengths are or their weaknesses that allow them to learn better. So that could be, for example, that they may learn better by having visual support, so things written down, or perhaps they hear things better and they have difficulty reading and they can't do that. Or it's a multitude of things. So we identify what are somebody's strengths, weaknesses. We identify what their specific goals are, what we see and identify and diagnose as difficulty for them. And then we formulate everything based on that. So, and that can change, because hopefully we're going to see some progress, and then we have to readjust, and we have to reestablish new goals. We have to get the input from the patient, the family, and then kind of reassess where they are and what they've improved in, and then modify what we need to from there. We do have some very specific programs here at Peconic that are targeted for a certain population. Again, there's differences within the program because they are individual, but We do have a certain program here that is for Parkinson's patients. It's called LSDT Big and Loud. And so there's a program that a patient may follow through with this, but it's individualized in the sense of that it correlates to what those patient skills are there.
Gotcha. Talking with Annie McGarry. She's the manager of the speech pathology program. Annie, you know, just thinking a stammer, a stutter, a lisp. I mean, I've known people who had a stuttering problem early on in life, and you'd never know it as far as talking to them at present. Is that still kind of the number one issue when it comes to correcting one's way of communication?
Well, you know, sir, absolutely. There are some people who improve significantly, maybe identified their stutter at an early age and really established a therapy program with a therapist and really made some good changes, and you barely notice it. Some people do carry it on with them, or it could be more difficult in certain situations, such as stress, change those situations there. So it's definitely something that we see, and we have worked with children with stuttering, and then also adults who are coming back who maybe need to relearn certain things that they've lost over the time, or it might be a period of stress or change for them, and everything is magnified a little bit more. So we kind of go back and reestablish good strategies, routines, and try to get them back on track.
And that's the key as well. What about technology used? Have you noticed the difference over the years as far as the methodology and everything else from way back to what you're utilizing these days?
Sure, yeah. Like I had mentioned earlier, the iPad is an amazing tool that obviously many years ago we didn't have that. And it was it allows for the patient and also the family to work on, for example, the therapy tools. So we may give, you know, therapy exercises after every session to do. But the iPad has tons of resources in there that allow for somebody to practice certain techniques or strategies or repetition of a certain thing that is really difficult for them. And doing that on technology is amazing. It gives them feedback on there. It lets them know percentage of how they did, and they can see their progress on there. It's definitely something we use in therapy, but it's also an amazing tool to carry over a skill and to practice on the home side, and then also for a family member to kind of know how to encourage that person to start doing their homework and doing their home practice through an iPad that might be more engaging, might be more visually engaging, and might be more stimulating for someone. Now, there's certainly a population that is not going to be, you know, agreeable to something like that. You know, the older population, that is not anything they want. It's not necessarily appropriate for them. So it really is specific to who can handle it, who has the cognitive and language ability to manipulate technology, who has a desire to, and then who has the support to help with that.
Gotcha. Annie McGarry with us, closing it out here. A couple of minutes remain. Ask medical experts talking about speech pathology, the great program, Peconic Bay Medical Center. It's got to be so, you talk about engaging, it's got to be So cathartic and rewarding for you and your staff as far as people who are trying to communicate, which is the very essence of where we all live in society these days. It's all about that, I always say.
Yeah.
How great is it to kind of put people on that right path?
It really is amazing. And, you know, we all, unless you have had an incident or know of somebody who's had an incident that has impacted their speech, their language, their swallowing, their voice, whatever that is, you just don't think about it. We all walk around communicating, talking, swallowing without a thought. And when that's taken away or significantly altered, it affects who that person feels they might be, right? And that how their communication is that mode. People make judgment based on how somebody communicates. And So when we can guide somebody through that and help improve their ability, their skills, but also guide them through that on the other end and perhaps show them how far they've come in the process. They might not get back to exactly where they were, but look how far you've come and look how well you're doing now. So there, it's very rewarding in that regard. And the when they have such an amazing outcome, it's just, it feeds your soul and it makes us happy for what we're doing.
Yeah, we've got about a minute left, Annie. I mean, how great is it to be part of not only PBMC, but Northwell Health and all the tools they provide, the staff and everything that you have? It's got to be incredibly energetic knowing to come to work every day, being backed by an institution of this nature, no?
Yes, absolutely. We are very fortunate to be part of Northwell Health, and it allows us. It really gives us a leg up a lot of times in the resources that we have and the doctors we have and the specialists we have and the programs that we have. Even, for example, here at Peconic Bay, one of our speech therapists had started a speech group with all the speech therapists in the health system. So it's been going on for years right now. Once a month, they all meet and they talk about a topic, they discuss things, they have speakers that come on and share information, and it's all the speech therapists within Northwell Health. And so being able to have that resource and all of us get together and talk to each other and ask questions and reach out to each other, it's really, really valuable.
Annie, it's been a pleasure. Annie McGarry, ladies and gentlemen, the manager of the fantastic speech pathology program. We're talking Peconic Bay Medical Center, and you've been listening to another round of Ask the Medical Experts. Annie, we hope to have you back on at a later date. How's that?
Thank you, Jay.
Appreciate it all. Annie McGarry, ladies and gentlemen, we'll do it again next week. Ask the Medical Experts. Stay well, stay safe. More importantly, stay healthy, okay? We'll talk to you next Saturday. Have a wonderful rest of your weekend. See you then.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.